Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Today my sermon is on trust, faith, and deliverance. I would like everyone to turn to 2 Kings 5 as I read the story of Naaman. I don't know how many people are familiar with the story of Naaman, but it's one of my favorites. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now the bands of Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So that Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took with to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to see you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him a message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger out to him and said, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went on his way angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the rivers of Israel? Couldn't I wash them and be cleansed?" So he turned out and went left in rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great or a great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, just wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and he dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. And as the man of God told him, the flesh was restored and he became clean like a young boy. Now this story is pretty impressive. You'll have to forgive me because I'm not trained in the ways of giving a sermon. I'm more trained in the ways of giving lectures of science and lectures of my studies. So this has a little bit of an attitude of a lecture, of information given out, but with a spiritual input. So I'd like to go in short and tell you a few things that you need to know about this story. The king of Aram, which is a Syrian king, is Ben-Hadad II, as we studied. Naaman was a commander of his army. This was an army, Syria's in the north and Israel's in the south, and they had been battling. But now Naaman was proud because he of killing of Ahab, the king before Jeroboam. So Naaman was proud because he killed this king, and now the king of Aram, Ben-Hadad, put him at a higher light. He was highly regarded as a soldier. Now, in Bible times, in many of the Bible stories, if someone did disrespect against God or did not follow his 10 commandments, he was cursed with leprosy. So Naaman received leprosy. He was vain, haughty, and proud. Haughty is just another word for vanity, only it's more boastful. So he was even boastful of his vanity. And this was the cause of his leprosy. The link to Elisha was Naaman's wife had a servant girl taken captive from Israel. So when the Syrian army attacked Israel, they brought back many wealth and much wealth, and they also brought back captives. So one of the captives was this Israelite girl who became Naaman's wife's servant. She was a captive. Naaman asked Ben-Hadad II if he could go see Elisha, because that was the only man he responded to and took orders from. Ben-Hadad wrote a letter to Naaman's behalf to Jeram, the king of Israel at the time. Jeram is after Ahab, so when Naaman killed Ahab, the new king was Jeram. This caused Jeram distress because, you see, if Naaman was not cured, that would mean that there would be another battle, and he didn't want that. So that would cause Jeram his stress. Then God steps in. Through Elisha, he tells Naaman to go bathe in the River Jordan. Now this frustrated Naaman because, obviously, if you're proud, and you have a lot of money, and you have wealth, you have power, do you want to be taking orders from someone that you don't really know, from your enemy's side, and also to go bathe in a dirty, muddy river? The Jordan was known as a dirty, muddy river. I mean, if any of you have been to the lakes and streams around Michigan, I'm sure you know what muck is. When you step down and the muck seeps up to your ankles, I mean, how would you like to take a bath in that? That wouldn't be too much fun for me, especially when you're from Damascus. You know, they had nice baths. He talks about the river Paphar. It's one of the nicest rivers even today in Damascus. Damascus is still there. My roommate from California was actually born in Damascus. So he was telling me about this river, and it's still nice. So here you have a commander of the army, and he's going to the opposite side to ask for advice. And on top of that, Elisha doesn't even come out to meet him. Instead, he sends a messenger to talk to him. So I would be kind of upset as well. And that causes his pride to almost get in the way. But by listening to God's instruction, Naaman is healed. Now, some of you, like myself, I'm pretty bad with geography. So I looked up some maps. And you see, Damascus is way up here in the top. And here's a Sea of Galilee right here, this little sea. And this is the River Jordan that transverses north and south. Here's the Mediterranean Sea, and here's Israel. Here's a strip of Gaza that's very important to today's news. So Damascus is way up here, and here's the Israelite. Now I've made another map so you guys can see a little bit more. This was a little bit more confusing because it actually has roads, and it looks more confusing to me. Maybe to you too, but I don't know. Damascus is up, way up here in the north. And as you come way down here, here's Samaria. This is where Elisha is. And if you take this little scale here, this is almost about 90 miles from Samaria to Damascus. Damascus is where Naaman was from. So he had to travel with his horses, his gold and his silver, and 10 outfits of clothing all this way to Samaria. Now, Samaria is very hilly. It's a big mountain, and this is where Elisha resided. And so after that, you can see here's the River Jordan and the Sea of Galilee right here. So Naaman had to travel quite a ways through this. And you asked about gold. Everyone knows about gold, but when you're wealthy and you're sick, you will not stop at any means to try and get well. That's one of the most important things about us as human beings. We like to be well. We like to be healthy. So I calculated he took 6,000 shekels of gold, which is about 150 pounds. Today's price, gold goes for $683.5 per ounce. When you calculate that out, that's $1.64 million that he took just in gold with him. And then silver, $13.29 ounces USD. And he took 10 talents, which equals 750 pounds. I don't know if you've carried 750 pounds, but that's an awful lot of weight. He didn't take just one chariot, I don't think. He took quite a few chariots to carry that out. And then we're told in 1 Kings 16:24 that Omari bought the whole hill of Samaria for only 2 talents of silver. And this guy is bringing 10 talents of silver. So even back then, that was quite a lot. He could buy, 5 hills of Samaria for that. Now, I also want to tell you a little about leprosy. Leprosy is a very interesting disease because it's not like most bacteria. It is a bacteria. However, it's acid fast. That means it has a thick, waxy coating, and it's only weakly gram-positive. There's 2 different types of bacteria, gram-negative and gram-positive, and its gram is a stain. So when a person is infected, you take a culture, their throat or something, you lay it on a swab, and you stain it with ink, and indio ink, and a dye, and then you know, there's 4 different stains. We won't get into it, but one is purple and the other is pink. So if one's purple and one's pink, it's either gram-negative or gram-positive. This one's only weak gram-positive. This is leprosy, Mycobacterium leprae, as we know it today. Now, in the Old Testament, Tazareth was later translated by the Septuagint as leprae. Now, we think that this is not the same bacteria that caused Naaman's sickness because it doesn't have the same characteristics as we were taught about. In leprosy, it affects the peripheral nerves, the mucosa, that means your nostrils, and your lungs of the upper tract. This Tazareth affects the skin, clothes, and houses. And the houses were even infected, they say. Today's leprosy doesn't infect houses or clothing. It cannot survive without a reservoir. So, as I was saying before, before I dropped my stick, there's different, you know, how it's translated or infected by people is a transgression against biblical laws. Joab is being cursed for the murder of Abner. And now we think it's either fungal or protozoan that caused actually Naaman's leprosy. And the symptoms are different a little bit. There's 3 different types of leprosy. Not that you guys are being tested on this, but multibacillary, and then Hansen's disease. We call this Hansen's disease 1 and Hansen's disease 2. But I want you to pay more close attention to these. The leprosy of the Bible was the reservoirs or hosts were fabrics, clothing, and houses. And here, the only way you can get it is from armadillos, mice, chimpanzees, and these sooty mega bees. I've never seen one of those, but they are monkeys. Now, the only treatment for this Tazareth back in the Bible times was spiritual intervention. Once you had leprosy, there was no cure to it. The only 2 treatments we have now is dapsone and rifampin, 2 very expensive antibacterials. One is a dihydrofolic acid. It inhibits it, so you can't make DNA. And the other one, you can't make messenger RNA. So those are 2 things that you need to continue. So when they inhibit that, the bacteria dies. So enough with the science. Let's keep going. Just so you guys know, these are people with leprosy. So it's a very infectious agent. And they think because it damages the peripheral nerves, you can't feel anything. So when you burn your hands, you don't feel it. When you cut off the circulation, you don't feel it. So basically, the ends of your body start dying off. And you have to have them amputated because you get them infected as well. So this is the very beginnings of leprosy. When you start seeing this, it starts leading to the others. Now we need to focus on the condition of Naaman before he had leprosy. Naaman was proud. He was haughty, vain, rich, and powerful. Here's powerful, the Atlas. This Indian, doesn't he look proud? He looks like a proud guy, doesn't he? You couldn't tell him that he was, you know, he had 1 feather missing. He'd be pretty upset, man. This guy's really proud. And he also had money. Who doesn't like money? That's what most people today value as success, is money. Money, power, and wealth. And Naaman had all of those. He only answered 1 man on earth, and that was his king. So this was condition of his before his leprosy. In order for God to touch our hearts, sometimes he needs to bring us way down low. Because when we have everything we've ever desired, why would we seek God in the first place? There'd be no reason for it. If we have everything that we've ever sought for, you know, right now I'm searching to get, you know, my doctorate degree so I can at least make some money so I don't have to rely on my parents sometimes. But once we're in that high place, God has a hard time knocking on our door because our door is closed to Him. We've already fulfilled everything that we've sought for as human individuals. That's our greed coming through. So by this, Naaman came down with leprosy. In a few short strokes of God's hand, he was sick, he was helpless, he was facing death, discouraged, and this also humbled him. Now, I don't know if any of you have been discouraged, but there's times when I've been discouraged. There's times when I've been sick. There's times when I've felt like I'm totally helpless. And in those times, you know, I pick up the phone, there's no one on the phone. I seek my friends, they're not around. Then the last thing that comes to my mind sometimes is coming to God, because God is always there. He's constantly knocking at our heart's door. The only thing is you have to let Him in. And sometimes it takes us completely losing everything. Just like Job. Job lost everything, but he remained faithful to God. This is what happened to Naaman. We can learn a lot from this. The sickness. Do you think these people care about any money? What if you offered them 10 shekels of silver or gold? They wouldn't care. They'd want their health. And as we all know, that God's a great healer. Here's a little guy being sick too. This is just a common cold. But so, Elisha said, go and wash 7 times. This was to demonstrate to Naaman that the healing would come by through the power of God of Israel. We needed to trust completely in God. When God tells us something, when we open our hearts to Him, we need to completely trust Him. We can't say, God, you know, please guide my life, but only if I don't have to do this. Or, God, you know, please, I really need to do this, but make it really good. You know, you have to completely trust Him. Open out. Open up your heart. Be completely vulnerable to Him. Do not hold anything back. Naaman did this because he went to the opposite side. He went to his enemy. He was willing to give up all of his gold, all of his silver. You know, he wanted to be healed completely. This is what we need to do. So we need to trust completely in God. The prophet himself, Elisha, was not a healer, but we must have to have faith and follow his instructions from God. So there may be others that have come into your life that have taught you certain things, that you know that the Spirit of God is working through them. I've had many instructors come to me and give me advice. So we need to do that. We need to listen to those people because God may be working through them. The reason why he said to go wash in the river, many scholars believe that in Eastern religions, part of he was part of the Eastern religion, they bathed themselves to become cleansed, like a ritual. And so this is why people think that he was, you know, bathing. He asked them to bathe. And we use the number 7 because it's a symbol of completeness. There's 7 parables in Matthew. There's 7 trumpets in Revelation, 7 promises to the churches, 7 seals, 7 colors of the spectrum, and even 7 days of the week. So 7, as everyone knows, is a very well known as completeness and perfection. The muddy waters of Jordan, there was no connection. He wanted to make sure that there was no connection between actual physical bathing. God wanted Naaman to get the message that it was through his faith and his trust that he was cleansed, not by the actual physicalness of washing. That was a symbol. God uses symbols, so we need to pick that up. And in conclusion, we need to know that God wants us to trust him in every aspect of our lives. This is in Proverbs 3:5. I'm going to read that to you. So if anybody has their Bibles, they can turn to them. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Who wants a straight path? I want a straight path. You know, any time that I do not follow instruction, I find out that my path is very crooked and it's hard. Like when you're reading a map and you're going outdoors, if you do not follow that map, you get off track and your path becomes very crooked and you get lost. Same thing, if we do not trust in God, our path is crooked and we will get lost. So we must seek His help. In Matthew 7:7, if you'd like to turn with me, Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you, even though you are very evil, how could you do good to your gifts of children if you then, through you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do unto you, for this sums up the law of the prophets." So we must seek help. God asks us to seek him in times of trouble. And if we're not seeking him, we need to be constantly in thought that we need to be constantly seeking him. We can't get too proud. We must also be humble. In 1 Peter 5:5, it tells a little bit about how we can be humble. "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God oppresses the proud, but gives grace to the humble." This directly shows what God does to those who are proud in Naaman's story. Naaman was proud, and he humbled him. So we need to be humble. And we must not be proud. As everyone knows this one, Proverbs 16:18-22. This is one of my favorite ones. "Pride goes before destruction, just like pride goes before Naaman's fall, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud." And if I would rather be oppressed than to share plunder with the proud, because when we're oppressed, sometimes we have the greatest joy because we realize what's most important to all of us. When we're sick and we have other people that are sick around us, usually we all get together and we realize that the most important thing to us is the life and the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. So we can't be proud. We must be willing to give up everything. Matthew 19:16-30 is the story of the rich young man. God tells us three instructions. First, follow his commandments. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. And third, we must be able to give up anything and follow him. If we're not willing to do that like Naaman was, we're not able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Even God says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So sometimes the things that God gives us as pleasures and joys can also be a hindrance to us. And we must have faith. In Matthew 17:20, it says, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, even if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you." Naaman had faith that he was going to be healed. At first, he was angry. But when he thought about it, he realized that maybe Elisha, through God, was telling him something so that he had faith enough to be healed. Sometimes in our world, if we have faith enough that in our life, in God, that he will direct our paths, we can achieve great things. We can overcome boundaries. We can overcome things, obstacles that get in our way, like relationship problems, financial problems, we need to have faith that God's there with us. There are many examples of great men that trusted in God. Job, Noah, they didn't know what was happening to them. Noah waited on this earth a long time, and he had people mocking him, but he had trust in God. He had faith in God, what God was doing for him, that he was going to be saved. I mean, how would you like to be mocked for years and years? Your whole career in life was to build an ark, and everyone thought you were crazy. That takes a lot of trust. I like the Old Testament stories because even though they don't directly tell us specific things we need to do in our life like the New Testament, we can look and analyze the stories like Noah and Job and Isaiah, Joshua and Abraham. Abraham had to lay down, you know, like sacrifice his own son. That's what God told him to do. In the Old Testament, God doesn't exactly tell us what we need to learn. But he gives us these stories that we can use to help influence our own life. We need to take these stories, incorporate them, analyze them, and realize how we really need to have trust, we need to have faith, and in so doing, God will give us deliverance over some of our obstacles in our life. I think that's a great thing. And so God gave all these people deliverance in their life. We can have deliverance in our life. We can become saved. Who likes living here in this earth? Now, granted, I love living, but I know that there's a better life out there. And through trust and faith, God's going to give us deliverance from this earth so that we can join Him again in heaven. Who wants to be there with me? I sure do. So please, please, each day, open your heart's door to God. He's knocking there. He wants to come in. He wants to give you the joy. He wants to give you the flame. He wants to give you happiness. He's knocking every single day. All you have to do is let Him in. Each and every day, let Him into your life. Let Him change you. He wants to give you deliverance. All you have to do is accept it. Please bow your heads with me in prayer. Dear God, as I stand before this church, please humble me. I'm a sinful person. I do have pride in my life. I'm not perfect. But let me just be a messenger to anyone that will listen to your words. Please send your Holy Spirit to speak through me each and every day. I do open my heart to you, Lord. I do ask you to come into my life. Thank you so much for giving us life and the chance that we have a choice each and every day to accept you. Please let that choice be a positive choice towards you, and let our hearts be open to you so that you can come in and give us deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.